Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I'm your host, Kelly Cop, published photographer, NYC tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
With me today, I have historian Greg Young. He is one of the creators and hosts of the Bowery Boys podcast, which he's been producing with his co-host Tom Myers for over 17 years. But above all else, he is a New Yorker. Welcome to the show, Greg. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice to be here in this cool environment, away from the horrible heat outside. Thank you.
It is nice in here, and thanks for joining us.
It is. It's cozy.
So excited to chat with you. Jay and I are so excited to chat with you. I have some questions, and we're going to learn a lot from Greg today.
Podcasters talking to podcasters.
That is correct. Well, you are the OG of podcasts, and you're going to tell us about that shortly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's some Q&A, Greg. Man, you don't mind answering some questions, do you?
Bring it on. I'll answer anything.
So, Greg, what inspired you to start your podcast?
So, it starts with Tom's always been one of my best friends. We've known each other forever. I went to college with his sister, so that's how I knew him.
Oh, wow. Here in New York?
No, I'm originally from Missouri.
And so nice.
I went to the University of Missouri, Columbia, which is a journalism school, which is my background. But I moved to New York in the 90s, like immediately after college. And Tom was also here. Tom went to school here.
Oh, nice.
Tom went to Columbia. So, we bonded, we were good friends. And, we had always wanted to do like some kind of like a radio type of show, because, we're just goofy like that. but at the time, we were both living in the Lower East Side. And
I
three blocks away from each other. And when you live in the Lower East Side, you are confronted by history,
right?
Because it's like, it is one of the most important neighborhoods in the United States in terms of the American history. So many people have gone through that, millions of immigrants have gone through that neighborhood. So if you're a curious sort and you live in a neighborhood like that, you want to know, like, why is the neighborhood this way? Like, who are the people that went through these buildings and these landmarks? And I have a history background. So all of that kind of aligned to having the two of us talk about history a lot. So just on our own, just like hanging out at his apartment, having wine. But the podcast came around just because I got a laptop. It was like 2007,
yep.
Apple laptop, and you open it up and it had GarageBand. And podcasting had just literally started like 2 years before. It was just kind of interesting that GarageBand had this thing for podcasting that early. It's kind of odd.
Right.
But, the pod in podcast stands for the iPod. So really, like, Apple invented this idea, or I guess perfected this idea. Maybe not invented it. It was certainly internet radio.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we thought we were going to do something on, quote, internet radio. And so, but then I got the laptop with GarageBand. I was like, oh, there's podcasts. So, just one June evening, we're like, why don't we podcast about history?
That's pretty interesting. That's pretty amazing.
And so, because I had just been devouring so many books by that time, like, I have an American history background from school, but I didn't necessarily have a New York specific one up until, mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So we just sat in front of a microphone. Those first episodes are pretty rough, but then found that we kind of liked.
Jay and I can understand that too.
liked what we were doing.
Right.
And like, it made living in that neighborhood so satisfying. And of course, then we branched well outside of Lower East Side.
So from the very beginning, your name is what it is today, which is?
Oh, the Bowery Boys. Mm-hmm. So that came up. That was episode two.
So episode two is when you came up with your name?
Yeah, episode one was something called like New York Cast or something stupid. That episode has been scrubbed from the internet. We do have a lot of our early shows. They're not that great. When people are like, oh, I want to start from the beginning, it was like, really don't start from the beginning. Start from like episode 100, then listen all the way to the end, and then go back, because you have to understand like where our destination is to understand those early days.
Right.
But the origin of our name is the Bowery Boys were a gang. Mm-hmm. A mid-19th century gang. The movie Gangs of New York had come out, I think, 2 years before, 3 years before. And so what I've learned is, like, with history or with people's interest in nonfiction, ebbs and flows. It's basically controlled by pop culture, which we can mm-hmm. talk about other things in pop culture. And so interest in, like, you know, mid-19th century New York, Five Points, gang life, boss tweet, corrupt politicians, all of that stuff was like really of interest. I was just like, oh, why don't we just name ourselves after a gang? Because we are kind of near the Bowery. We mm-hmm. we recorded it in a location on Canal Street, actually, but on the very east side, but very, very close to the Bowery. So we hung out at the Bowery all the time. So
very cool.
So that's why we sort of took the name.
Well, the name just fits perfectly. I feel
it does. It does now. I mean, they were not like actually not a great group of people once you dig into them. So we're just sort of like it's like a reinvention.
Right. And I really think it's a great name. I mean, you've made a name for yourself. I think it's what you said, 17 years you've been doing your podcast.
Yeah, it was June 2007. George W. Bush was the president when we started.
Wow.
Doesn't that seem ancient?
Jay, were you born?
It's wild, right? I mean, like, it's absolutely wild that we have been doing it. And, you know, part of the reason we lasted that long is the show, we had to learn to just be very flexible. The show, like, went through all sorts of different changes. Like, for a while, like, I was just doing a bunch of solo shows. And, like, mm-hmm. and then Tom would pop in, like, every, like, month. And then as we got a little bit more serious about it, then we decided that, it has to come out every Friday. It's every other week. Mm-hmm. And we had a little bit more of an organized schedule about it. But the shows themselves can either be just Tom and I. They can be us solo.
Yeah.
They can be us in a studio. They can be us out in the street. They can have guests. They can have like 10 guests. They can have one guest. You know, I mean, doing it that long, we were able to like create a whole canvas of different types of shows, and I think that people have gone along with it, basically, that flexibility.
Yeah. I've actually, you know, over the years, the Bowery Boys, your podcast has come up, you know, in conversation, and that I've had with friends. Mm-hmm. And Jay brought you guys up to me too.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I know exactly who they are. So so you've made quite a name for yourselves.
I think that we have inspired thousands of like slightly annoying conversations at parties because people will learn a fact or two.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh, I just learned on this podcast that this building used to have the oldest elevator in America. Like that kind of like and that's the point of the show is that not only to like make your experience of living in New York richer, but just to like give you more things to talk about your city, you know?
You know, and to walk by for me, you know, I'm not a big history person, but I do love to show the city to people. And then now, in addition to me going to these places, because of your podcast, I know the history a lot of these places mm-hmm. now. So we'll talk about that as, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so which is really cool. I'm super excited for you to tell our listeners all about the history that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, how has your podcast evolved since you first started?
Well, the funny thing is that it the way it's even made has had to be mm-hmm. very flexible. I still do editing. Like I still like am involved with a lot of the grunt work, although now we do have a very trusted producer named Kieran who helps us out and has kind of like brought the show to the next level. It's sometimes not good to always be the person doing, like, you do need to give away some control and things will get better. You know, so, I mean, in the early days, it was just like two of us doing the editing. We'd record it 2 days before release, you know, like literally like making final edits right up to like, you know, it's we, the show's dropped at midnight.
Jay, Jay's, all right, you know, my executive producer.
And now we like have, because now we're like more adult and we have more busy lives. And so can't really do that so much. So like anymore, so we plan a lot more shows ahead of time, built in a lot more cushion. I mean, the shows are also longer and they have just simply more facts in them, so we have to, you know, you have to lay it out weeks ahead of time basically. So I mean, like right now, like we know what we're doing probably through, and there's like one open hole in October, but other than that, pretty much through the end of October.
Wow.
And like, you know, we've already like I've already got outlines for shows that we're doing in all through August and like even that first one in September.
Well, from 17 years ago till today, I bet you technology has really advanced and helped you as well, correct?
Well, the number one the number one way is digital archives. Like we could not do this to the depth of detail if it wasn't for digital archives of all sorts, you know, whether it be the New York Public Library, where there'd be a bunch of online newspapers. We, I mean, we have access to like academic documents online. I mean, we have like a plethora of like eBooks. I mean, like, I mean, back in 2007, everything was in physical. We had to, I mean, like there were things online, but like, that's not how we researched. We researched by reading like two or three books. Now I can go back to like, oh, let me go back to that original newspaper when this event happened. And now I can look that up. And
from 1912.
Yeah. From 1798.
Yeah. That is fascinating.
When Alexander Hamilton, was shot and killed, found a, I mean, like, that's crazy. Like that, I could not like the, how I would have done that 17 years ago. I have no idea. It would have taken months,
but
to put
you
did together.
Do it, right?
Most, yeah, but the, but it's just the shows were like 20 minutes long, and the just the depth of just of the topics was kind of like let's just say it didn't kind of go deeper than I think. Now the shows are much more rewarding because it's like going an extra level than say like reading a an article in a newspaper. I think
Well, do you have a memorable moment or guest from your podcast?
Let's take a quick break. Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young. I'm an actor and a producer. I've been working with the global humanitarian organization CARE, and I am so excited to invite you along for my new podcast, She Leads with CARE. Each week, you'll meet some incredible women who have changed their lives and their communities.
We raise our voices for people who don't raise their voices to defend themselves.
Listen to She Leads with CARE now on your favorite podcast platform. New episodes every Tuesday.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, let's see. I had Ken Burns on last year. I
Really?
Ken Burns about
the Jeopardy guy?
No, the documentary filmmaker.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, Ken Jennings would be amazing. Actually, he'd be a good
guest. Cut that out. You need to cut that out.
I don't know. It's funny.
For some reason, that's who popped in my head.
Oh, no. Ken Burns, the documentary okay, filmmaker. Oh, yeah,
can you answer it again?
Yeah. There you go. Well, Ken Burns, actually, the documentary filmmaker, I interviewed him last year. That was crazy. It was a show on Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, wow.
And how it lined up is that he had a new series on PBS on the buffalo. Like, it was the history of the American buffalo. And they reached out to us and like, you know, I was like, well, buffaloes don't have much to do with New York City, I thought. But actually, I ended up just doing the whole show on Theodore Roosevelt, who, of course, was a New Yorker. And just going to just about our podcast, we often hang our stories based on like three or four different places. It's got to be very place centric. So like that Theodore Roosevelt show is based on the fact that he grew up in around the kind of Union Square area. So I talked about that. He was heavily involved in the Museum of Natural History, which is up on the Upper West Side. But then I think, and more interestingly, is the Bronx Zoo comes into the part three because he's involved this organization to help save the American buffalo, which is being slaughtered out west. And they bring some buffalo or bison, American bison, to the Bronx Zoo. And so the Bronx Zoo actually helped save the bison from extinction because and today they still have a herd that traces its lineage back to that Theodore Roosevelt, to those, like, you know, beginning of the 20th century. So anyway, it was like, so that's a story where I interviewed Ken Burns, but then still linked it back to like two or three places. So like, it's always important to me. Like, we do even biographies and events and places like that, but like, to bring it back to places that people go to or see or may want to visit.
Right. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Really interesting. So I want to delve into your podcast episodes now.
Sure.
You know, I want to talk about some. I mean, they're all amazing, but some that stuck out to me that I really like.
Yeah.
You know, and if you could share some of yours as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Jay, if he wants to jump in, if he has any.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So I'm going to start off with, well, you know what? Real quick, though, I thought this was interesting. Mm-hmm. I stumbled across this little blurb from you and Tom. Tell us about Freedomland USA.
I mean, that is a really old show. And actually, I've been wanting, I almost redid it this summer, and like with another angle, another hook. We often do that. Been working for so long.
Right.
Like, you want to go back to some places, but you tell the story a little bit better.
Completely.
So Freedomland was a 1960s amusement park that was in the Bronx. Today, it's on the site of Co-op City. And was this very bizarre concept. How would this fly today? I have no idea. That was, the theme park was America, and each destination, you know how like Disneyland has like different destinations. Well, this, every destination was like a region. So you'd go to like the Old South, or you'd go to like Mount Rushmore, or it was like exaggerated campy versions.
Right.
It's funny because it opened, but it had this like misfortune of opening at the same time as the World's Fair of 1964 out in Flushing Meadows, which was a huge deal, but also lost money. It seemed that it was not easy to run these things in the 60s. But so, yeah, so Freedomland, like, went away. But it was just a very curious artifact of New York in the 1960s.
I thought it was fascinating because I've never heard of it. And, you know, it was a part of New York City in an amusement park, if you will, correct?
Yeah, no, no. Yeah. Well, so I was planning on doing this summer, I'm going to push it off to another time. But like, New York actually had like a few amusement parks. One notable one that I wanted to hook the whole thing around was Rockaway Playland, which was an amusement park in the Rockaways. And, you know, we think of Coney Island today as the amusement parks are. But there actually used to be several such places all over the New York City area.
So fascinating.
Like South Beach and Staten Island was a huge destination. The northern tip of Manhattan. In fact, where LaGuardia Airport is, there was like an early 20th century kind of amusement park there as well. They used to be all over the place because this was before cars. So it was like you got to these places via like the railroad. So these destinations would pop up sort of based around like where the railroad was, and there were just less to do, and there were more people like trapped in the city and this over congested city. So there was more need for that. Like, so today there's obviously like Rye Playland, there's amusement parks still, like Six Flags out in New Jersey, but you can drive there. So, but it was like when you couldn't drive, they were actually closer.
When I stumbled upon that and heard you guys talking about it, it just made me laugh because I thought it was so interesting and funny, and you know, I never even heard of it. I thought I knew a lot about New York and never heard about this.
No, Freedomland is a vestige of the past.
Okay, Greg, what I want to talk about is the Titanic and the fate of Pier 54.
Yes.
That episode I was glued to. I thought it was so well done.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We were proud of that one.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because these are, I feel like, are very satisfying shows to make, where I'm taking something that is American history, that people all know the Titanic, they know the story, they saw the movie, but they don't know it from this angle.
Correct.
And so the whole point of this was like, we're inverting the story. Like, this is not the story from the perspective of the passengers on the ocean liner.
Yeah.
From the perspective of where the ship was heading and to the people who were waiting for it.
That's why I think I was so enthralled in it, because it was the New Yorkers, you know, you guys told the story of New Yorkers and how they felt waiting for the passengers to arrive. Go ahead.
I mean, to me, obviously the drama of the ship is, that's very dramatic. But
right.
There's like this other drama that was equally harrowing, which was when the Carpathia arrived, and Carpathia's like rescued the surviving passengers from the water. But there's this whole period of just when the ship went down to like when it arrived that people didn't know what was happening. And, you know, technology wasn't that great back then. And you could wire. There was some knowledge of who had lived and who had died, but there was a lot of misinformation.
Yep.
There's this whole horrifying scene. It's basically where Little Island is today.
Correct.
So on the west side, like Meatpacking District. And so that, like the Chelsea Piers, that's where all of the ocean liners used to go back in the day. They still do up in Midtown West. Yep. They still do.
I have a quick question. So is that the original rusty structure?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah.
Then?
So that is exactly where that pier was, where the Carpathia docked. And so there's still evidence that there used to be like a whole regular just pier that was there for years and years and years. Like I saw like concerts there in like the 90s and like the 2000s. Like I saw David Blaine, the magician, did like this crazy thing on that pier. So that's like, that's very 2000s.
That's
thing.
Pretty cool. He was a big deal back then.
He was back then. Exactly. It was very odd.
Jay, do you know who David Blaine is?
I've heard the name
he did this weird thing where he was like electrocuted for like 24 hours or something weird like that. Yeah. It was on the pier. Anyway, but it was at that spot where the Carpathia, where the passengers stepped off the ship, those who lived and thousands of people were waiting because they didn't know who had survived.
Right.
So it was this very dramatic, because like each passenger came down and there would be cries of happiness or sadness or whatever. And it was also like press was relentless back then, as you could imagine. And, you know, New York was the center of media at that time, arguably even is today. But back then, especially. So like even as the Carpathia was coming in, like reporters were like coming up on little boats and like shouting. And of course there were society figures.
Correct.
And even celebrities that were
the elite.
And so obviously there was an interest. I mean, that in a way it was like it sounds weird, but it's like the Kardashians, like people wanted to know, like the Vanderbilts and the Astors, like it was all society type things. But obviously these were also very powerful and rich families on top of it.
The way you two were describing it, it was like a movie in my mind. I could see everything like in detail. I mean, even their clothes, or whatever they were or weren't wearing.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such a fascinating episode. And I could picture, you know, being a New Yorker living here, exactly where the Carpathia came in. And I could imagine them getting off the boat.
Well, it's such a place of recreation and pleasure today.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Especially since they built that little island, the Barry Diller project that's there. But, you know, it's still wonderful that even there's some evidence, the fact that there's even left up that
the original structure,
that gate is pretty remarkable. I mean, that's the interesting thing about New York City, is that it changes so much.
Right.
Like it's not like it can't be like the center of Paris where like everything just has to be constantly preserved. Like we have historic districts, but it's impossible to like keep everything in amber to that degree because it's still an active moving city. So, but it is a city that also like does in most part celebrate its own history. So it is great to still see things like that are still.
It's just a phenomenal episode. And I want to tease people in a sense, you know, with the little tidbit that you were telling them about it, to go to your, you know, podcast and listen about this specific episode, the Titanic, which is amazing. And all your episodes are amazing, but you know, it's so good. I just really recommend it because I was like on the edge of my seat just listening to that specific episode. And you even discussed, you know, at 9 Broadway, how the families or whomever were waiting to read their names.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, Old Steamship Row, yeah. Because that's where all, back in the day, it's where you got your tickets. That's mm-hmm. where you got all of your information about, mm-hmm. I mean, they would print it in the newspapers, but you'd go down there and buy your tickets for the next steamship and or ocean vessel liner. And it's kind of amazing to think of, like, so like in a tragedy like that, all these people like collecting down mm-hmm. there trying to get any piece of information.
Right. And plus us living here, knowing that area, you know, in my mind, I could envision it.
Almost, oh, yeah.
You know,
because yeah. most of those buildings are still there.
Right. Right.
The Bull isn't there. But yeah. the Bowling Green and the Custom House and mm-hmm. I mean that mm-hmm. yeah the buildings, the Cunard line,
yeah,
all of the White Star line, all of those buildings are still there.
And lastly, you also mentioned, you know, the Newsies standing outside the theaters with mm-hmm. you know, giving, you know, yelling about, you know, what they do about the Titanic, and people were in the theater and they had cops positioned there to stop the Newsies from telling
oh
them.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it would be like leaking a tragic piece of news right. during, it would be like getting a text today,
yeah,
like
your exactly.
phone, people's phones would start going off,
right?
But they had Newsies back then. Yeah. We have a show in our back catalog, actually, in a more joyful frame of mind, the Newsies strike of 1899. It's one of my favorite shows that we have ever done, uh-huh. just because I love the subject of Newsies.
And I do too. I think it's cool.
Fascinating that, like, for decades, children sold newspapers. Like,
right.
like, talk about crazy child labor. but I mean, just from the beginning, like 1830s and 40s, right. when the newspaper business really took off, children sold the newspapers.
Do you know how long this went on? If you don't, it's fine.
Well, I mean.
Well, I mean, Titanic time and before. You know,
no, I mean, into the 50s and 60s. I mean, 60s. Basically, they were replaced by right. news, like, permanent newsstands
mm-hmm, right.
and also like child labor laws but then like yeah. adults sold newspapers. I mean, and in a certain way, like, a vestige of that exists a little bit, but yeah, I mean, that was quite a mess. You can imagine just going to work and passing like 15 children screaming at you about yeah. like, whatever newspaper. But they were treated poorly, and so they all went on strike in the summer of 1899.
Demanded,
and it's a sort of bittersweet story, but it kind of hopeful story. It's a little bit about union organizing, mm-hmm. but with kids,
right?
But it's fun. Well, there's a whole musical about it. So
if
you want to, you know, tune into that,
yeah, that's true. Oh wow!
So we just finished, by the way, our kind of biggest project ever, which is our mini series on the marking the 400th anniversary of the founding of New York as a Dutch settlement. Mm-hmm. So before it was New York, it was a Dutch settlement called New Amsterdam.
Right.
And we have done these road trips like in past summers. We did one on just Long Island, where we went to a few places, and each episode was a different place in Long Island. 2 years ago, it was the Hudson River. Mm-hmm. So we went up to like Hyde Park. Up the Croton Aqueduct, that type
wow,
of thing.
Wow, I always wanted to go up there.
Oh, the Croton, the walking trail,
right.
I mean, it is awesome. Do it in the fall, though, because,
mm-hmm.
like, it's so beautiful. So then, this was our most ambitious, because we actually went to the Netherlands, and we're there for, like, 8 or 9 days. Again, we brought our producer with us, so he was really helpful to, like, not just do all the work, but we did, so we recorded 4 episodes over there, and it was real. It's a really deep dive, I must say, like, into the myths about it, like, you know, like, what does it mean that we were a Dutch colony? So many of our names of things, like mm-hmm. Staten Island and Brooklyn, Harlem, are all Dutch names.
Amsterdam Avenue.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a ton all over the place. Yeah. And then there's for generations there were people who only spoke Dutch, like
right.
around the area. So we wanted to sort of draw that connection in kind of a fun vacation-y way. We talked with a lot of experts while we were over there, and, you know, it was just a sort of different way to look at a new way to tell that story. We had told it a more traditional, straightforward right. way a few years ago. So yeah, I think this was successful. I mean, it's definitely like we answer a lot of questions. It's often a difficult story because, of course, like
right.
the Dutch were, it gets steadily worse as it goes on, but like is connected to the slave trade. And then by the time the British get here, then it's really bad. But finding and going there and talking to people and kind of understanding it a little bit more, like I had a kind of what I was like one perspective. I understand this, but now I understand it from several, I think. So,
well, can I ask you a probably a very basic question to you? So Harlem is, you know, that we have here in New York City is named after a city, Harlem?
Yes, there's this beautiful city in the Netherlands called Harlem, spelled with two A's.
Yeah.
And it is like a medieval city. It's, I think, goes back, I want to say it even goes back almost 2,000 years, or at least at least a part of it does. It's spectacular, but we go to it on the show. It doesn't have like, I mean, we were definitely making some connections, but like it's, in a way, it was actually kind of amazing that there are these two completely different places that are like tent poles of the respective company countries, like culture, you know?
Right.
Because that there, Harlem in the Netherlands was like, was famed in Europe as a publishing like 16th, 17th century. So anyway, so that was a successful big thing. And of course, coming up here soon is our biggest tradition, which is our ghost story shows.
Oh, nice.
Every October.
Yeah.
And then of course we do live shows every year at Joe's Pub.
Do you? So do you do one? Like how does that work? How many do you do? Or
no, we've done them since 2008, you know, with the separating the pandemic. But so what the recorded podcasts are every year, it's like 4 to 5 ghost stories, and they're all real ghost stories. We embellish to make them scarier, and we have sound effects and music and all that, but the stories are really technically based on things that we find in newspapers or like history books, or you know, like most
fun is that?
Many historic houses here have like little stories, you know, to latch onto. That's what we do. We do it. We've done it like it's literally we've done this stuff at 17. It was like one of our first things. It was like our 12th episode, I think, was a ghost story show. So it's been a tradition that we bring, and then we finally do them live, and it's basically a cabaret, but we're still like we have music, we have vocalists, and we have a music
where
director.
Is it? Where do you do it?
Joe's Pub.
Oh yeah, you said that.
Yeah,
I'm
at in Astor Place, and the tickets are already on sale, but I can't even.
Wow.
It's so like I'm not even in a Halloween frame of mind. Right. I'm like I can't even promote it quite yet. I'm like no one's quite in that mind. And it's October 29th to the 31st.
I think I want to go. You want to go?
Yeah. Go. It's really fun. It's like people really enjoy it. Seem to really enjoy it. It's a very unique for that space because that space is usually for theater and for like vocalists and musicians. I mean, we have musicians, but like it is we just tell stories.
That's really cool. Sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. It's a total blast.
That's a really smart idea. Good for you guys. That's really cool. So I have a show that I thought was really interesting, and I'm just going to say the name.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Mallon.
Oh, you mean Typhoid Mary?
Yes. I just thought it would be really interesting, and it really was. So you told us all about, you know, that episode.
Well, I mean, so I think a lot of people know the name. I think maybe you hear, like, school children may, like, read about it, like, two sentences or
something. Actually say it still. Like, you know, especially on the subway when someone's coughing with friends have been like, I'm getting away from Typhoid Mary.
Well, it's funny because what's great about the story is it sort of, encapsulates a world that's, like, kind of unimaginable to us, where there's just all of these rampant diseases, and the way that they would treat them was really stark. Like if someone had typhoid, for instance, in a Lower East Side tenement, they would board up the building and keep the people inside it.
It's crazy.
And because
what year was Typhoid Mary around? Like 1920?
It is 10? It's 1890.
Okay, I knew. Okay, yeah.
And but although I mean her story, I mean this is the other side of the Gilded Age whole story. Yeah. What's fascinating to me about the story though is not just that she was, you know, she was a cook. She didn't realize she was getting people sick, but then
she kept
working in different places. But linking this actually to another show that I did that I really am proud of was a solo show called, on North Brother Island. North Brother Island was where she was basically held.
Right.
Until her death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this little island right off of like Rikers or like mm-hmm. between, you know, it's in that area of the East River that's like going into the Sound. If you go by on the ferry and you can just take the New York City ferry,
right.
You'll see the ruins of the old hospital that used to be there.
Really?
And so we did a whole show on Typhoid Mary, but then I also did a show just on North Brother Island because it itself is a place of great mystery because we can't go to it. It's not it's a bird right. sanctuary.
Uh-huh. I know exactly. Is that the little tiny piece of land? Is it that one?
Well, those,
but no humans can go there is what I mean.
No, right. There's no one. Yeah. Right, I mean, but it used to be a hospital.
Right.
Actually, two hospitals upon this particular. And even in the 60s, it was a drug rehabilitation mm-hmm. place. And then they just took everyone off the island, you know? And so to this day, it's just overgrown. So it's very mysterious.
Well, I just love the whole story about Typhoid Mary because we've all heard about her. I didn't know the origins or what it was about. And that episode, you tell us all about it. So people who are listening to our listeners right now have to go to your podcast and listen to the
whole
show.
One's, I think it pops up. Well, we re-released it in 2020 for obviously reasons.
Yeah.
So like, if you want to go back to 2020 is the easiest. Mm-hmm. It was a re-release, so it doesn't have a number on it. But if you go there, you can find it.
I like the description of her. You know, she's like this stout, manly walk.
Woman. Well, you feel, she's stubborn.
Yeah.
Because because you have to understand, like, we just did not understand, like, regular people did not understand diseases. Like, scientists didn't. So, like, what if you were telling her, like, oh, you're making all these people sick and they're dying? Like, that's just too much for a person to understand.
Yeah.
You know, but also, like, she needed to make a living. There was, like, not a lot for women in her position.
And she
to
was
do
doing this for years.
Yeah, she was cooks in like, I think, I can't remember the exact number, but it was like three or four different households.
Yeah.
And then when they even caught her and they even arrested her and kept her, but then she got out and then she went back to working.
Yep.
So, but we didn't have any, no understanding of what it could, what mm-hmm. to do about people in that situation.
Yeah, it's just a fascinating story. And you guys did such a great job. So I really enjoyed that one.
I also want to draw attention to one that Tom and I did a little bit earlier this year, in February, on the Domino Sugar Factory.
Oh, I love that area.
So today, this is in Williamsburg on the waterfront.
Yeah.
And today it is Domino Park. It is this huge development. And they've turned all these old factories and then they've built brand new skyscrapers all over there. It's mm-hmm. completely transformed. But kind of unites it is there's this yellow sign. It's Domino Sugar. So there was a Domino factory that was right on the water. It's always mystified people, right? And because it's a kind of a classic old sign, the one that's there today is just a reconstruction of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to dive into that story. And it turns out that, like, you know, Brooklyn is built a lot on sugar.
Right.
And that has a lot of like negative aspects to it, obviously.
Yep.
To the sugar trade, both in the United States but also in the Caribbean. And the one family that really profited from it was called the Havemeyers. And so the mm-hmm. Domino Sugar Factory was their factory. But Brooklyn had many sugar refineries, which is kind of an interesting thing to think about. I mean, when I think refineries, I'm like, oh, in the middle of, you know, like, because of course,
right.
Then eventually in the 50s and 60s, they did, you know, the country, the interstate, exactly. Like allowed people to build these things kind of far away from cities. But it's amazing to think of it in this very dense area. And this was at a period when Brooklyn was still an independent city. And so, and it got all of its worker, its mm-hmm. workers all lived four or five blocks away. So it's a really interesting story. It makes you think about Williamsburg very differently because mm-hmm. Williamsburg today is like high end retail
trendy,
and clubs and or whatever. So it's like, it's the flip side. It like explains why all the architecture is as it is in Williamsburg. You know, a lot of it's still around from that
period. Love how they've restored the original Domino Sugar Factory. I think.
Yeah. The building is still, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, you know,
now it's
heavily
all,
redone.
Yeah, heavily redone.
But
It's all glass up top now.
Yeah, and... yeah. It's like, I think it's an office tower. Maybe mm-hmm. it's residential. I can't remember.
So anyway. The sign is not the original. Is that what you said?
No, it's a recreation. It looks exactly like it.
It's really nice, though. And I love that whole Domino Park area. I think it's stunning how they've completely transformed it into this beautiful park.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I remember, I lived in the night. I used to go to Williamsburg in the 90s. It certainly didn't look like that. that was a very crazy area of Williamsburg in the 90s. But
I do like the pier there. Is that 7th, whatever avenue is? I don't know. But the Williamsburg Pier, so to speak.
The fair. Right. Right. I mean, I'm a big supporter of the NYC ferry.
Me
I
too.
Love it.
One of my favorite things to do. It's only $4.
Yeah, you can go to Rockaways. You can go up to Throg's Neck.
Yeah, you can ride the whole East River. Gosh, like you said, all the way to Coney Island, even. I don't know if it goes.
No, you can even further to Rockaway. Yeah, they have a Rockaway. It's called the Rockaway Express.
The best $4 you'll ever spend, I think. And you see the best views of the entire city on the East River.
And now they even have one that actually goes to Staten Island. I mean, like, on top of the regular Staten Island ferry.
They just added that. I wanted.
Yeah.
Actually, I tried to take that to do a live video for my social media. But mm-hmm. I didn't realize I Googled NYC ferry thinking it would be the New York City ferry, but it lumped them all together and took me to Battery Park right there, World Trade Center area. So I was like, well, I'll do a different video, but I want to do that.
But one final show I just want to mention and tout, because I think we did a pretty good job, is actually on Flushing, Queens. Now, have you been to Flushing, Queens?
Yes, okay. Just a couple times, though.
It is so fascinating mm-hmm. out there, and it is a neighborhood mm-hmm. that literally like was founded in the 1650s. I mean, obviously they were indigenous, they were Native Americans before mm-hmm. that, of course, but like there was the Dutch settlement of Flushing, and it plays a huge role in American religious history because it was an early place where Quakers worshipped, but they had a big clash with the Dutch with Peter Stuyvesant, the director mm-hmm. general of the Dutch settlement. And there was a document called the Flushing Remonstrance, which is the first basically like document about the freedom of religion. The people are allowed to worship freely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's often cited in like Supreme Court cases and religious leaders. And so it's like, so anyway, Flushing, okay, it's crazy because then today, if you go to Flushing, you can go to those historic houses. They're all over there's like several that are worth visiting, but you can also have like some of the best Chinese food.
Oh, yeah, that's
in
true.
The United States.
Some of the best, yeah, I
because it's
agree.
A huge Chinese enclave. And when I was doing that show and doing, you know, taking photos and videos for social media, I just walked around the whole neighborhood. It was just like every 10 minutes it changed into something else. It was like super kind of like upper middle class, like residential. And then you turn and we'd be like, oh, on the busiest intersection in New York City, like next to places where you can get delicious dumplings. And then, of course, it's not that far from Flushing Meadows. In fact, I walked back and forth.
That's what I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially I like to go out there for the cherry blossoms. You know, down mm-hmm. What's that called? Flushing Meadows? Is that where the World's Fair was?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Across,
You know,
Flushing Meadows, Corona Park.
The stadium and everything, the Arthur Ashe tennis, all that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's all, I mean, it's
right
all.
There.
I
the wouldn't seven say, train, boom, right there.
Yeah, I mean, the seven, in fact, the last stop is in downtown Flushing.
Right. But that's some of my favorite cherry blossoms that I go see every year.
Is over in the
in the
park.
World mm-hmm. in
yeah yeah yeah.
But it's what's it called? The World's Fair.
The Unisphere.
Yeah.
By the Queen's Museum.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
But anyway, it's a fascinating. It's like telling the entire city's history from literally the Dutch period to modern times.
That's fascinating.
But just in one corner. So I mean, that was really interesting. Like literally, it's the way it's arranged. Just like it's chronological mm-hmm. from starting 1650. All the way, at the end, we talk to a food tour guide who takes us to this excellent dumpling shop. So it takes it to present day. So
that's fascinating. And so, is this a continuing series that you have, or is it? Or
no, that was one whole contained episode on Flushing. But neighborhoods are our favorite things to do. Like another one that's very similar is our show on Flatbush that we did. That's a two parter because we devote the whole second episode to the current population, and it's called Little Caribbean today. Mm-hmm. And so we have a food tour guide takes us on
that's awesome
area. And that's amazing, you know? So
see, I don't know that area that well because I'm so far up, you know, up in Upper Manhattan here.
Like Flushing, it is a very, they're both Dutch settlements. Mm-hmm. So there's old, like 17th century building, which is crazy. But then they're right next to, you know, like a huge row, a bustling area and a huge row of restaurants and shops and is, you know, bustling place. And then, you know, you walk three or four blocks, whatever, south or west. And then you're in like Ditmas Park and it's like huge Victorian mansions. I mean, like that's what the best part about New York is like walk just a few minutes left, right, you know, like north, south, and you'll almost come up with a whole different urban landscape.
That's so true. I completely agree. And I think in every neighborhood or every borough has that.
Oh, same, yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, sure, there's areas of Queens that are, you'll walk for an hour and it's like the same type of like housing development because that's what happened with Queens in the mid 20th century. But but for the most part, I mean, that's why I love living here is like every neighborhood's a different adventure.
That's so funny you just said that about Queens because actually my first time out to see the Unisphere out there at the, you know, the World's Fair area, I to see the cherry blossoms, I got lost and I was walking forever what it seemed like the same neighborhood and then I finally found my way. I felt like a tourist for the first time. I'm like, because my Google Maps was messing me up.
But oh, well, that's always good to feel like a tourist in your own city.
I did, and it was great. But yeah, so I walked, and you know what? I liked getting lost, too. I always tell when I do tours, you know, I like getting lost because, you know, I learn more, and I see more.
Yeah.
And so I can share that with my viewers, or listeners, too, or my social media, or on my podcast. So.
I will plug one more Queens place, since it just popped up in my mind, which is in Corona. Which is right next to the park, and that's the Louis Armstrong House. I recorded a whole show there about 3 years ago. And what makes it different, there's a lot of historic houses in this city, but like this is the only one that preserves. So it's Louis and his wife that lived there to the end of their lives. It is an actual museum, but what it preserves is like mid 20th century.
Wow.
Like all of their furnishings. And they like, I mean, Lucille was like, she had some like taste, but it was also, it's very, in a way, very middle class Queens in the sort of design. And so I love going there. And plus they just opened, I think across the street. I haven't been there, but when I was doing the show, they were opening up this like a kind of community center, like performance venue across the street. So thumbs up. For the Louis Armstrong House.
I need to go there and check it out.
Yeah, you can do, they do tours. And you learn a lot about his life, but you learn about it by like literally going into his study and like, oh, see, this is his record collection. And like, this is where he would like sit and do writing. And this is where he would sit and play music. And like, the kitchen is spectacular. It's like, has a kind of, you know, like 1950s bright baby blue like cabinets. Yeah, so that's another fascinating shout out.
Yeah, I mean your podcasts have so much to teach people. And
I hope so. I just want to make people's lives in the city more enjoyable. You know, I mean, like it's just nicer to go from one point A to point B and know a lot about the journey in between.
Right, exactly.
And just be like, hey, you know, a famous gangster was assassinated on the street corner, or like, oh, this is where this rock star used to live, or like in the 18th century, this is where Alexander Hamilton's house used to be. I mean, I feel like all of that adds to it pops you out of the doldrums or the sort of routine of your life. And, you know, not every city has that. I mean, every city has its own history and can be very special. New York's is just extra depthful, you know, there's so many layers to it.
And what do you hope that your listeners from your podcast take away from your episodes and what you do?
Well, I just want people to not only like appreciate the history of the city, but how it affects their own lives, right? I mean, like we haven't even mentioned the name Robert Moses this whole time, but he's like kind of our anti-hero, antagonist of our show. But these decisions that he made affect your life today. So like, if you can't cross a street in a certain way, or like you can't get a subway to a certain destination, it's because of these decisions that were made like 80, 90, 100 years ago. So that is like, I feel like that having that better explanation can also help you in planning out your life, and especially, you know, like urban planners. It's, if you want to properly complain about something, learn about the history first. Like, you know, I mean, my big beef, especially after coming back from the Netherlands, is parking and bicycles. We have a whole show from last year just on the history of parking in New York City, and how crazy it is that cars have taken over our city. When you look back at pictures from the 1940s, there's hardly any cars on the street. There's less cars, of course, but there's like, so you learn, like, so learning about like why that is, like why the cars came in, like what happened, why are there so many vehicles on the street? I mean, like, gives you a little key to locking your city a little bit more, I think.
So interesting. Gosh, you have stories that could listen to.
we just did a Dutch 400 years. We went back for four episodes. My new episode's coming out in a couple weeks is on the Ramones. Yeah. So it's like 1970s. So like,
oh, I can't wait.
It's a lot of history to cover, and there's always new stories.
Well, that's, you know, I remember the Ramones, and I can't wait to hear that episode. So
yeah, we've got some, I'm lining up the guests now. some of them are hard to get, but it'll be fun. It's about CBGBs.
That's really cool. Yep. I actually did a tour with some friends from the UK, and they wanted to go to CBGBs, the Chelsea Hotel.
Oh yeah.
So they want all that information. So
cool.
I'm going to have to brush up on your podcast so I know.
Yeah. Well, so you'll learn some new stuff in a couple weeks when that comes out.
Well, Greg, this has been awesome. I really enjoyed
thank you for having me
talking with you. Jay and I truly appreciate it because your podcast teach me so much. And I think a minute ago you mentioned you learned the middle or something. You said, actually, I think I learned from the beginnings of things from you about New York
City.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so you helped me understand the city even more. So thank you for that. Yeah.
I should just add that we are recording on Canal Street, and that the subject of our very first episode was Canal Street.
Oh, really?
And we explain why it's named Canal Street, because it was an actual canal that was a pond was drained.
Well, that's amazing, because I have to listen to that
now. In the early 19th century, yeah.
And next time I come with Jay to do a podcast, we'll know more about Canal Street. And then our listeners from our podcast will, because we touched little bits of some of your podcasts, and they can listen to the full episodes on your podcast, which is?
Yeah, the Barry Boys podcast. You can find it on most of the methods, you know, Spotify, Apple, Overcast, and of course, go to our website, BarryBoysHistory.com, and that's where all of the you'll find all of the podcasts there if you just want to play them on the website as well.
So, Greg, before we let you go, we here at the New Yorkers podcast want to know what makes you, Greg Young, a New Yorker.
I am an obsessive walker. Obviously, I couldn't do my job. Look, I like taking the subway. I like a bus. Don't necessarily like a car. But if I will walk any amount of distance. So to me, that is like a New Yorker is someone who has to love walking. I mean, that's not a truism, but really depends on what your lifestyle is in New York. So that's it. And just, I'm constantly exploring, and there's always new things to explore in New York City. I'm never tired of it. So I'm always finding new elements of it to appreciate.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Completely can understand that as well. Thank you for joining us today for this week's episode of the New Yorkers podcast. Greg, why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
That's on Instagram, Bowery Boys NYC, Threads, and Twitter, just regular Bowery Boys. And of course, we have a Facebook page, Bowery Boys Podcast.
Perfect. Once again, I'm your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp, across all my social media.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers podcast, and you can follow the New Yorkers on social media at the New Yorkers podcast.
You can also leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you are enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, Brown Kinsley. Kelly MC and Perry Arnell Walston for your kind words on the last episode. If you want to be featured at the end of an episode, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or a comment on Spotify.
And thank you, Lisa Wood, Charlie A. Pardo, and Deborah Robinson for your comments on Facebook.
Have a lovely day, my friends, and we will see you next Sunday.
Ciao.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.